What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough, go through some things, and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. Really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast. But one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show. Well, guys, we have a very special episode kind of planned here. We, you know, kind of something we've never done. We've brought someone else in, some other people in here for our book review. And who else other than
the moms?
Two of the most important women in our lives, the mother of our children.
Yes.
We're joined today by my wife, Gina Fagus, and Melissa Minkovic. Did I say that right? But we read Good Inside by Dr. Becky Kennedy. We all kind of read it together over the last month, and we're just going to kind of break it down. So, ladies, what did you guys think of the book?
I think it was pretty good.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Zach said you crushed it in like 2 days.
Yeah. Calvin was sick, so we were laying in bed for like 2 days, and I just read it.
Yeah.
I had every intention of reading it in Florida when we went to visit Pat's parents. Happen at all, but I did, you know, I finished it, and I genuinely loved it from front to back. My book is covered in notes and everything, and just kind of I kept going back and when I do read, any book I read, I like stop and think, and this one really just made me like stop and like dig deeper into like me as a parent. What am I doing? I never look at it as like, what are they doing wrong? It's like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
so this was eye opening.
It seems like a big kind of theme of the book. It's kind of like coaching the parents than the kids.
You know?
It's kind of like changing how you think about what they're thinking, what they're doing.
Being proactive rather than reactive.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I was telling, I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but I was like, it's a lot of stuff that like you've told me to do or things that, because you're just way more ahead of the game with like the whole parenting thing than I am. You're a special education teacher, you're a teacher, it's what you spend your whole career has been based around spending your time with children and, you know, seeing how they think. I was brand new to, you know, the kids scene when we had kids. Like I've just been kind of learning on the fly here, and you've taught me so much. But there's a lot of things in here that you've like told me to do, or like, hey, this is why he's thinking this way because you're doing this. And it's like, you know, I've heard it from you, but like to hear it from her, it's like
hear it from a doctor.
Yeah. To hear it from a doctor, you know, it just meant a little bit it was just a different perspective on it.
Well, that's something that, I mean, we're all going to have to deal with as the kids grow. We're going to tell them to do something and they're not going to listen, but someone else tells them to do the same thing, they'll listen. But like for us, I mean, Melissa stepped up like immediately, had that motherly instinct. And I'm just kind of like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do? but like, cause you can read all the parenting books you want, but you're like this, if there's any book that I would tell new parents to read, it would be this book. Because I read countless other books heading into it, like trying to prepare myself, and none of them prepared me for what was about to happen. And this one, though, I wish I would have had this from the get-go in the beginning, because it's just a simple concept in terms of you've got two sides. Your kids are always going to be good, but they can do bad things. But that doesn't change the fact that they're not good people.
They're still good.
Still good inside. And the whole listening to understand and actually putting yourself in their situation and understanding, not being able to, I mean, like thinking on it, like, I don't know how, if because of with the emotions and everything that we deal with on a daily basis, if I didn't know how to express those and I had to act out how I felt, I mean, eye-opening book to help me understand the boys and trying to implement some of those things that they talk about in the book when it comes to talking to them. So,
yeah,
I don't think anybody really truly realizes how hard parenting is until you become a parent. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's cool. Like, you have like a little mini you, but it is the most exhausting job you will ever do in your entire life from morning to night. I mean, it's every day. You
doesn't
have
stop.
To always be on. It doesn't end. There's no like, okay, I'm just going to like shut it off. It's constantly trying to do better and be better and be a better parent. It's just exhausting. And you really don't know what you're doing until you start, you know, and it's a lot.
And it's a lot of it. I feel like you almost kind of have to learn why you're doing it. Like, mm-hmm. I think if I read this book before Calvin was born, like,
it would mean nothing.
It would probably mean nothing, you know. But now that, you know, he's 2.5, you know, almost 3 now. Shit. Yeah. And it means so much more because it's like, oh, yes, I've experienced him doing that. Oh, yeah, he doesn't listen when I ask him to go do this or whatever. And just seeing how she kind of breaks everything down, it was great. No, I really, really enjoyed this book.
And even so, I feel like the second half of the book was like lying, cheating, like all those deceitful things that like we don't have yet.
No.
But you guys have with yours. Yeah. So like reading it again.
There was a specific one about like sports, like about Connor is very, very, very competitive. I mean, like he literally played keepy uppy last night and I was keeping score. He's like, no, I'm going to keep score. He was literally getting so upset because he was losing at a balloon game. Like he's very competitive and it's definitely not for me. It's probably from Pat because yeah. I have no competitiveness in my body. I'm like, whatever. But, you know, reading that specific chapter was like, okay, I I'm not trying to change. I'm not trying to stop him from being competitive. It's more of like understanding where that's coming from. But it was just so eye-opening, each single chapter. And there were some that really don't relate to us anymore. Mm-hmm. Like as parents, like more of that separation anxiety because they're a little bit older now. When they were younger, yes, they did. Like, when mom and dad would leave the house, it was like a meltdown, you know. So there was
more
some
so
chapters,
mom. Really
more so
mom.
Yeah. It still is.
Yeah.
But they're mama's boys. Yeah. But, you know, there are definitely more chapters than others that probably related more to you guys mm-hmm. than it did to us and vice versa. So it was cool to read through them and think about like the past and kind of how it was.
Kind of
so,
laugh, yeah. laugh at
laugh
some
a little
some,
bit. Yeah. Absolutely.
Man. But no, it's, I think, like you were talking about before, towards the end, I mean, how, you know, some of this stuff doesn't apply, but also like at the end, like continue to read this book and use it because and practice it. Continue to practice the things that are in this because, like I said, it's going to be different phases for different things. And but yeah, so I mean, that's the thing is just continuing to practice it yourself. And I also think too that, you know, a portion of this is, you know, you can relate this into relationship life as well and things that you can do for bettering your relationship with your partners or co-parents and in our situation. But yeah, I mean, and that's, and I think what's great too is, you know, Dalton took it upon himself to read it and, you know, I give kudos and props to these two for what they're doing on that side of it. And Dalton stepping up and being able to do what he does with the boys and coming and talking to me and having those conversations like, hey, how are we going to raise these boys? How do we want to, and have those conversations. And I couldn't ask for a better stepdad for the boys than them. So
yeah. He loves those boys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it ourselves and, you know, we've talked about it on the show, but like something that you guys have done here, you know, you guys not being together anymore, but like still maintaining such a good relationship, you know, between each other. And it's not like, you know, it's just so great for the boys. I mean, you guys are, everything that you guys do is for them and, you know, and you've been able to keep such a great relationship together, even though you're not together anymore. Yeah. And it's awesome to see. And I wish, you know, I'm sure a lot of people out there, you know, that have parents that are divorced would have wished that their parents do, you know, did what you guys have done here. And I just think it's beautiful.
Appreciate that.
Thank
yeah.
you. That's hard.
A lot of, a lot of counseling.
Easy, you know, it's not
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, no, it's
you
not.
Know? I can imagine.
Yeah. But we love our boys more than life.
And well, that was something that her and I never had an issue with. Like, we worked well together. We co-parented well together. Last aspect, just, you know, relationship wise, just wasn't hey, you know, but we're still, you know, give us about 5 days in the same place.
I'm like,
we start wanting to fall back into that routine, but like, you know, small doses, right?
Yeah, sure. Small doses. Yeah.
You always see that like kids of divorced parents and the parents can't be in the same room or the parents can't do things together. Yeah. You guys just went on vacation together.
Yeah. You guys went
like
on vacation together.
Yeah. Or? With Dalton, you were traveling with him. Dalton, like, you don't see that.
Yeah, Dalton and I drove 11 hours together in a car.
And you got stuck at the airport.
And you were not stuck at the airport for 48 hours. That was great. Oh, yeah, that was miserable. It was two boys. They were literally like, I'm just like, just run. I don't even care at this point. Just run, you know. But anyways, you had mentioned something about relating this to adult relationships. There's one specific line in here for the very end. It says, in order to change behavior or change yourself, you have to feel good inside. And that resonated so much with me because if you think about it, I mean, even in adult relationships with whether it's a boss or your romantic relationship, whatever it is, I mean, how often can that other person get anywhere by screaming at each other, by berating or belittling each other? You know, it's like when I make you feel good inside, if it's a problem or something, you are more inherent to either cooperate or to understand and to listen and to make a change. You know, so it's like I take that. And I think about my kids, even though I'm not in a relationship with my children. I mean, not, you know, I'm their mother, but I can never expect them to cooperate, to listen, to want to change, to want to do anything if I'm making them feel like absolute crap and telling them you're terrible. Look at what you did. I mean, you and like, look at you and I. You and I berated each other for years. Right. You know, I mean, you know, we said mean things to each other and it was like, where did that get us? You know, so it's like they didn't get us anywhere. It didn't do anything for you. It didn't do anything for me. So it's like, if you take that same concept and lie to your children, it's like make them feel good inside and good about who they are, they will make changes, whether it's behavioral, whether it's, I mean, your tantrums, I mean, obviously the whole book is mainly about, you know, self-regulating yourselves to help regulate your children. So it's like be the calm that they need. You cannot expect big changes from your kids when you're making them feel so little, you know. And that was so empowering to hear. And I know that, you know, we've talked about that so many times, you know, like just have to calm ourselves, you know, just it's hard and it is hard. And last week we were in the car and, you know, I told the boys, I'm like, from now on, like no more yelling. Like we all lose our shit. Like we're parents, like it takes so much. And then you're like, ah, because guess what? Like we as adults, we can't always express emotional regulation, right? And so I told the kids in the car, I'm like, no more yelling, no more yelling. Like, we're good, we're done. And the other day I got frustrated with Oliver over clothing. You know how he is. He wanted to wear like 17 different layers of clothes. And Connor comes by and he like puts his hand on my shoulder and he was like, remember, calm down, take a breath. You know, so to see him like, you know, just use the things that like I teach him, like, okay, let's take a breath, let's calm down. And like he was trying to help me regulate myself. And he's like, no yelling, no yelling. So I was like, damn it, he's right. And I'm like, shit.
Just need a clip in there from Billy Madison. No yelling on the bus.
Yes, yeah. So to see, and like to see them even, you know, do anything that we've done as parents, like whether it's, you know, taking a moment to like step back or calm down, like to see them use that same, you know, same kind of stuff. It is cool. I was like, you're like, oh, it actually does work. Or, you know.
Well, the fact that he noticed that, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's.
He's like, mom's getting ready to freak out.
Yeah.
Mom, take a breath. Mom, calm down. Remember, mom, no you. So it was just funny.
We're a little far away from that, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think
so. But also with that, she talks about that, what does she call it? Most generous interpretation of it. So like presuming positive intentions about people. And I think that's so important when we, you know, go anywhere, when someone in front of you is going slow at the grocery store, like they might be going through something too, and kind of going through that with our kids, like, okay, separate that behavior from the kid and what's actually going on inside that's making them act that way. You know, I'm a teacher and, you know, we learn all the time that behavior has four functions. You know, it's either they're acting out because they're escaping something, they want something, they need access to something, or they need attention or like a sensory stimulation. So like figuring that out. Like that other day when you were working and Calvin was trying to get your attention. He's like, daddy, 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 daddy. And you didn't hear him. Guess what he did? He hit Theo. And it got his attention right away.
Right.
And so seeing those kinds of things and seeing like, okay, if we get that attention met early, we can avoid those behaviors.
Yeah, I definitely hear the kids all the time like, dad, dad, dad. And he's either, you know, he's doing something else or not paying attention. And then they act out, you know.
For
like,
sure.
Because it gets it.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. It got my attention for sure. Yeah. I definitely don't want him hitting his little 6-month-old brother.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know. But it's getting to that root of that and seeing.
Oh, yeah. No, you said that and I was like, you're right. I should have caught that. And yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah. I've been trying to do better with that because like there's times. Like I will sit there and look at them and they're just screaming, daddy, 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 daddy. And I'm just like, what?
Except like Billy Madison.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Not Billy Madison.
Big Daddy.
Yeah. I was like, I never understood that scene until I had kids.
Until you have your own kids.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I get
it. It's so true. Yeah. The other night I was putting the boys to bed and, you know, it's, did Connor say to me, I tucked him in and then I went down. They had like share bunk beds at our house. And to me, like, Mom, like, it's really hard being a mom. All by himself. Like he said, he's like, Mom, he's like, it's really hard being a mom. And I literally almost like broke down crying. I was like, yes. I'm like, it is. And I said, you know what? I said, but it's also really hard to be a dad and it's really hard to be a stepdad. He's like, yeah, but you do everything, Mom.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I was like, yeah, well, you know, but yeah, they're amazing boys. And I know Pat can speak for, you know, himself, but they're just incredible boys. And it's not, I think the hardest part about being a parent is like genuinely seeing the good inside of them and not seeing the behavior. Like you said, like you have to separate the behavior from the child and kind of get down to that root
cause. Yeah, they're not being bad. They're not exactly out to get you. Yeah. They're just going through something and you got to kind of help them through.
Well, how is it, I mean, being a teacher, especially being a teacher of special needs, I mean, did you already know a lot or have come across a lot of this stuff or taught a lot of the stuff that was in this book? So was it just like a recap or is there anything new in there that you're able to use? And
yeah, I feel like a lot of it is things that we learn in school. However, I feel like it's way easier to do it in school than it is with my own kid.
Yeah.
And like,
why is that?
Well, I also think it's in the school environment. Like everybody in the school environment kind of knows what we're doing. Whereas like when I'm out in public with Calvin and all eyes are on me, it like changes. Like you want to just fix it really quick rather than
in
like,
fear of judgment, in fear of like,
like putting a cap on it rather than like working through it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, one time we were at Kirkwood Farmers Market, you know, during the pumpkin patch, and Calvin was having such a good time throwing corn, you know, having a good time. But all these moms around were like, and so I felt like I needed to remove
him.
Calvin when he wasn't doing anything
nothing
wrong.
Bad.
He was just exploring. Yeah. And like, I think that's some of the hardest things. Like as a parent, you want to make everybody else happy or like correct it when you don't need to.
Yeah.
But like in the school setting, like in my classroom, every para, every whatever, like we could have kids that are, you know, hitting us all, but we know that they're doing it for attention and we just all need to ignore it and it's okay. But like, if I was doing that in public, people would be like, hell, why are you letting your kid do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. It has similar situation on an airplane with the boys. Not so much throwing things, but just them bouncing around on a long flight from Vegas back to St. Louis. And we were the first ones on. So we picked our flight. We go all the way in the back. And then there was still plenty of seats, but the next group came on. I'm watching them. It was these two younger women and they are hungover as fuck.
And like, don't sit by
us. Like, please don't sit in front of us. Please don't sit in front of us. Sure as shit, they sit in front of us. And I'm like, I know it's going to happen. They're going to turn around and say something because the boys are being loud or they bump their seats. And sure as shit.
Yeah.
And I was traveling with my mom at the time too. So that doesn't help. That doesn't help at all because she's egging these boys on to have fun. And that's fine. Like they're
grandma's there for fun.
Yeah. And now granted they were kicking the seats. So I'm like, boys, we can't kick the seats. You can literally do everything else. Just don't kick the seats in front of you. Well,
When you tell them that, that's what they
want
to do.
Right, exactly.
You tell them the opposite of what you want.
So they stop. Then, like, they just start playing with the tray. And the scroll turns around and just glares at me. And I just smiled at her. I said, you had plenty of other seats to choose from. And she just snapped her head back around. And then later on, boys were doing it again. And they turn around. Can you please calm your boys down? And I said, hold your horses there. Again. You had plenty of other seats to choose from. You got on. You saw that I had two kids sitting here with me, and you sat in that seat. They're boys. At the time, they were 3 and 4. I was like, they're 3 and 4 years old on a flight, and they're getting a little rambunctious. You need to chill the fuck out.
Kids are allowed to exist in our environments as well.
Exactly. No, I ended up getting – I had to talk to the flight attendant about that one because they're like, sir, please don't cuss at our other flyers. I'm like, then tell them to sit the fuck down and shut up. Like, I'm like, seriously, they're 3 and 4 years old. What do you want me to do? They're, for the most part, they're being pretty good. Now you're going to yell at me because they didn't have headphones on. I'm like, take your pick. You want them yelling at the kids turning around because they're kicking, or do you want them to sit still because they don't have headphones on, which is the dumbest thing ever. You got to have headphones on when I can hear people talking next to me.
Right.
Like, what's the difference? Like,
I remember one time we didn't have headphones for the kids. And I don't know why we didn't, but they were watching something. And obviously, as a mother, like anytime we go on a flight, like I am ill. I am very prepared. Like the snacks, everything's downloaded on the iPad. Like, you know, and not for much. Not so much because of them, but because of other people. Like, you don't want them to create chaos. You don't want them to be loud. Like, you don't want other parents like staring at you or whatever, you know, giving you the stink eye. Like, you're just like the worst person ever. It's hard containing a 3- and 4-year-old mm-hmm. in a seat for a 4-hour flight, you know? So it's funny, Gina, that you brought that up, because I saw this post earlier. I saved it. And it said, I saw one parenting question that completely changed how I parent. And I want to read this. He said, just the other day, I found myself saying no to my kids all day long. No, you can't use that. No, you can't paint here. No, you can't wear that. And then I came across this question. Is it dangerous or is it just inconvenient? It stopped me in my tracks because, let's be honest, most of the time what kids do is just annoying or inconvenient. It's rarely dangerous or unsafe. So then it said, and I realized that most of my no's are really about me. It's my dislike of messes, my annoyances, my fears of being judged by others. So I decided to try something different. And so essentially it was like, so every time my kids do something, I have to ask myself, is it actually dangerous or is it just inconvenient or annoying? And that is so, so true. It's like when you hear, like, there's a meme or like a picture with Ben Affleck smoking a cigarette. And it was like when you hear the Lego box dump over and it just makes you so annoyed, you know? And it's like, I let my kids. Yeah. And it's not because it's dangerous or unsafe. You're just annoyed. And like, I think so many parents.
The Lego box on the floor can be dangerous too when you step on it.
When you step on it. Yeah. We've seen that in Home Alone. Yeah. We know the effects of all that. Or
I've experienced it a few times. It's not pleasant.
Our new thing's not Play-Doh. We've been real into Play-Doh.
So we can only play it on the table. We got rules.
We got rules with the Play-Doh.
Absolutely.
It's the new thing.
You mentioned that. I just did this the other day with Oliver. And now that you mentioned it, I'm thinking like, yeah, it's just more of an annoyance for me. Because he wanted to paint.
Oh, he loves to paint. He's so crafty.
So for Christmas, I got him this. Crafty. I got him this coloring set. Or this.
Was that for his birthday or for Christmas? When he said, this is the fucking worst.
That was his birthday. That was his birthday. So for his birthday, I don't know where he got it in his head that he was going to get a PS5.
Oh, they've been saying that for months. Yeah. Like, he's like Santa's going to bring it. I'm like, no, the fuck he's not.
I was not a video game kid. So you can have video games at mom's house.
We have a Switch and it's like few and far between they can play it. But. Yeah.
And I'm just like, when you're with me, we're not going to have, we'll do other things. So I wasn't a video game guy. So I don't relate to that. And so, but somewhere he got it in his head that he was going to get a PS5 for his birthday. And so I bring out this, and it didn't help that I brought out this big bag because I put everything in, wrapped it in tissue, put it in the bag, but it was like a big coloring set that came with colored pencils, crayons, paints, all this stuff, and then a bunch of coloring books. And I brought it out in this really tall bag that would fit a PS5.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
First mistake.
But right. Well, that I wasn't thinking like this kid actually thinks he's going to get a PS5. So anyway, he starts opening it and he looks at it. He's like, what the fuck is this?
No, he said this is the fucking worst.
This is the fucking worst. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like,
our 5-year-old, ladies and gentlemen, like, solid.
Yeah. He's like, this is the fucking worst.
Oh my God.
And I just look at Connor, and Connor and I just like, how do we not laugh at that? Because that's hilarious. And then, so we do, we start laughing. And then he gets even more mad.
Yeah, he's
like, stop
laughing
at me. This is the fucking worst. And storms out again and just storms out of the room. And Connor and I are like, thank God he left, because him and I were dying laughing. And he'd come back in and he's like, stomp his foot. He's like, stop it. Stop it. Yeah. And we're like, sorry, buddy. And I'm just like, that's fine. If you don't like it, these are Connor's now. And Connor and I will go color and paint and all that stuff. So we do. Connor and I go to the countertop and we start coloring. And then the next thing you know, Oliver,
he joins
right in. And by the end of the night, he had colored two of the books already. I'm like,
well, he had told me after he said that. Yeah. And he he was like, so he was like, he was upset, you know, I mean, obviously it's not the reaction you expect from your five-year-old, you know, so he called me and he's like, guess what he just fucking said? So he calls me and I'm like, Oliver, it was like, I understand, you know, you might not like it. Yep. I was like, but you know, it's a gift. I'm like, we say thank you. And even if you don't like it and, you know, or whatever, I was like, but you know, daddy put thought into this and yada, yada, yada. And then we had that conversation, like a few hours later, he called me back. He'd always FaceTime me before bedtime. And he's like, Mom, he's like, I actually really like it. You know, he was like all excited about it. And I was like, oh, Jesus. And I knew he would. I told him, I was like, you know, give him some artsy stuff. Like he loves arts and crafts. And so, but you have so much to look forward to, guys.
Right. Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, boy. I mean, he's, you know, Calvin's at a point now where, I mean, he can full on have a conversation with him. And he says some of the funniest shit. Like Gina's got a video the other day. Like he you know, he's pooping on the toilet now, and he looks down.
And he's proud. He's of his poop. He's proud of his poop.
That's awesome.
He gets down, he looks, and he goes, that's a big ass turd. I was like, I guess he heard me say it.
Oh
sometime.
My God, that's hilarious.
It was so funny. And Gina got a video of him the other day that was like, hey, what did you say when you pooped on the toilet this morning with daddy? A big ass turd.
Oh my God. That is so funny. So funny.
He was so cracking funny. Me up.
I mean, it's wrong that we're prompting them to cuss, but it is also, it's also really cute and funny when they say it. Like, there's a video of Oliver, like, right after he turned two or three, maybe, when you're sitting on the couch, he's like, fucking shit.
Oh, that was, he was like 2 years old, maybe. And I'm like, oh my God. It's so funny because, like, he was cursing or something. He said a bad word one day, and for my mom, and my mom goes, he learned that from Pat. And I was like, yep, sure did. As if I don't.
Calvin, one time we were going to Target, and, you know, I got some road rage sometimes, and this car was in front of me. I was like, this fucking car. And Calvin, once we got out of the car, all the way into Target, he was going, these fucking cars. And I was like, you got to stop before we get into the store, please.
Yeah, please.
We've turned it into, those are adult words. Yes. They're not bad words. They're adult words. When you become an adult, then you can say them. Because we don't want them to think that it's necessarily bad to say those things. It's just, they're adult words. But
I'm sure we could pay him back a little bit.
Yeah, we could too.
And,
you know, that's what we kind of talked about. That's what we're going to do. Like adult words or, you know, you can... If you use them, you know, you don't use them at somebody. You don't use them to people of authority. Yeah. But
you say them here at home.
At home, it's okay.
I feel like the more you tell them, like, no, it's, you know, like, it's what they want to do. If you make it, like, no big deal, then it's like, oh, it's no big deal. Like, they don't think about it as much. But they'd be like, oh, my God, don't ever say that. You know, they're going to want to say it more. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's common sense. But yeah.
And we're not going to censor ourselves. I mean, we can. No. I don't try to, but.
I really don't at all,
I don't.
I mean, I just talk like how I talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to say anything like super vulgar around them, but I feel like I don't
want, you know. Well, that's the thing too, is like, we're not necessarily like saying it in a derogatory way towards people.
No.
Like, oh, I stubbed my toe. Fuck.
Right.
Like, you know,
it comes out.
Yeah. Right. You can't help it sometimes, you know? And so, but.
We're going to have to, like, censor this entire part of the podcast.
No, not at all. This is what,
that's the beauty of it.
This
that's
is the great thing about it. Yeah.
We just let it ride on YouTube.
I think I went on a rant on, like, our first or second one where I dropped the F-bombs, like, 30 times.
Like,
in
you listen
2
to
minutes.
It, you're like, dude, I got to stop saying
I
got to
stop.
So much.
I say way too much.
When you hear yourself back, you're like, oh, wow, I cursed a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had our video marketing girl, Alyssa, go back and edit one of my blooper videos because I said the F word like 7,000 times. I'm like, my mom, please, don't delete it. Like, good God.
Yeah, and she blames me.
Yeah.
It's like, there was a time Connor got in trouble at school for they're reading a book or something. He stood up after the story and was like, what the fuck is this?
No. He was excited. He was something, but he used a bad word, but he was like excited about something.
He said,
it was story time. It was the F-bomb. And they were like, might want to just, you know, kind of talk to him.
Well, I picked him up from school that day, and they're like, we need to talk to you. And Connor's standing there, and he knows the adult words, when to use them, when not to use them, like, obviously not at school. And the teacher's like, we've got something serious to talk about. And I'm like, what's that? Connor said the F word today. And I looked at him, and he starts bawling.
Oh, he was so embarrassed. He was,
And he starts bawling. Yeah. And I said, well, what happened? And she told me, and I was like, that's actually funny. But I was like, I get it. I'll talk to him. And she goes, well, this isn't the first time. I'm like, well, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. I'll talk. I'll talk to Melissa and see if you guys have talked to her about it. If that's, then we'll, you know, but if this is the first time, then we'll, I'll take care of it. We'll be fine. And Connor's sitting there crying because he knows the rules. Like, hey, if you do this, soap in the mouth. Because he's gotten soap in the mouth before for cussing. Mm. He's deathly afraid of these bar, like little tiny
bars. And soap.
Yeah.
I had to do that. Yeah.
No. So I thought I was buying like a box of these big soap bars. I get it. And it's like 100 mini hotel.
Oh, you're set now. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, the problem is like I used it on him and he bit down. And he broke it in half and it got stuck in his teeth and he's like chomping and his mouth starts foaming. And I'm just like, wow, this is not going how I was hoping it would go.
Well, maybe it taught.
But it did. I'm like, dude, I just take a bar of soap and I put it on the counter. I said, you start acting bad or you start cussing. Like, hey, there's the bar. And he's like, he freaks out. He hates it, which I don't blame him.
Oliver could care less.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, he's yeah. Like, give it here. I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Yeah. He's like, I don't care. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll sit syndrome. There and he'll stare at you and he would chomp that whole thing up. And be like, I want another one. That's how Oliver is.
Wait till that. Yeah. I mean, you're obviously your youngest is too young to really notice the difference in personalities. Maybe wise, but like once her personalities are coming out, good God, that second child syndrome. Oh, I don't give up.
Zero fucks. Yeah. Zero. Yeah,
Calvin's so got the I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Is he?
For sure. Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. He's a shit disturber for sure.
Connors
are like sensitive, like empathetic one.
No.
He's very emotional.
Rule follower.
Rule follower for sure. I mean, like he'll ask me, you know, before
we don't follow rules.
Before he does anything, really. Yeah. But Ollie is more like that. You know, he's very much like he's so strong. He's got a strong-willed child, but I love him to death, man. But he's a hoot.
He's something else. The videos of him falling. It's funny. I wish I had my camera out and rolling because he fell with those two times with you. And then when I had him right afterwards, twice he fell with me.
He's fucking around with the ice. And I told him, I'm like, Oliver, you're going to fall. He's like, nah, I'm not. I'm good.
He's that fuck around and find out kid.
Yeah. He is. God bless him.
That's how Calvin is too.
Yeah, you can tell him.
How old is Calvin?
He'll be 3 in April.
3, okay. Yeah. Oh, man, he's starting young. Good for him.
I mean, he's got like teenager, he's terrible twos all together.
Yeah.
We'll go somewhere. He's like, can I hit them? Can I hit all those kids?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
He bit a kid at soccer on the nipple. He still talks about it.
Yeah. We went through a biting phase a little bit. Yeah.
Oliver will every once in a while when he gets really mad, will still bite. But Connor, he did it for a little bit, but he's out of that. But Ollie still every once in a while he's got Connor.
Did he ever bite brother? Mm-mm. Ever?
No. All of his bites have been like when he's like playing, aggressive. Like the kid at soccer, they were just rolling around playing and he just got a little too excited and bit him.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I think, harder to like control. Like, when he's angry, I can remove him from the situation.
Yeah, yeah,
when he's happy, I'm like, I don't know.
No, you're like, when are you going to do it? Yeah.
I'm just like nervous that he's going to do it. And then you're like,
That's the only kid he's ever bit. And then
he bit me a lot.
Yeah. That's very common, I feel like, with kids, like biting parents. Is it like playful fighting or like
wrestling?
Yeah, it's always been like wrestling or like when we're doing that. Yeah, like just playing around. And yeah, he's bit me a handful of times now. But
He hasn't in a while.
Yeah, it's been like a few months now.
It's our last soccer tonight, so I hope not.
Yeah, let's end it. Let's end it on a good note, buddy.
Oh, does he get his award tonight? Is he at Kickaroos?
He
gets an award.
It's our second time through it. But like after doing... We've done Kickaroos, but now we just started this Kid Strong thing. And after seeing how Kid Strong is ran, we're like, oh God, soccer is like, it's just nothing. Yeah.
Pointless.
Well, like it's kind of pointless compared to but there's no like, there's zero structure to it. And like the coach has like no control of the kids.
Well, look at them. They're like,
16.
They're teenagers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're like 16-year-old kids, whereas at Kids Strong, it's like they're full-blown adults, and it's like, I don't know, it's a lot more structure. Like, they have a plan for every class, whereas Kickaroos, it's like we come in like the same
We don't even game. Play soccer.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, there's never
right.
a point
they just
where
like
they
run
actually,
on circles.
Yeah.
And,
run around circles, play with bubbles.
Parachute.
And, yeah, play with parachute.
Speaking
he wants
that.
To be on every other field. He's like, what are they doing?
Yeah,
can I go over there? What are they
doing?
Just stay here.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we got to get them signed up for that summer camp. For the sports summer camp.
Which one?
The one right there, in Manchester. I did it Nevada? When I was younger.
Oh, I was thinking about doing Lifetime. We can talk about it later.
Okay.
Because
get them out of Goddard as soon as possible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Really? So expensive. Oh, my God.
Goddard's great. Woo. Great. Taught them a lot, but let's get them out as soon as possible.
No kidding, man. Yeah. I can't wait till May.
Yeah. get a pay raise.
Get that tuition back. Yeah. Good God.
Yeah. And I've heard it's crazy.
It's a nightmare. Yeah. Yeah.
We're real fortunate that we have your parents and my mom.
That is a blessing. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, Kath and Den, they moved to Florida and they were like, see ya. Peace. Bye. Yeah. No. Like, oh. Okay.
That was the best thing they could have done for us, though.
Thank you. Stop.
No, seriously. Very nice of them to move to Florida.
You're ridiculous.
No, like they would just show up. If they lived here, they would have driven us insane. I love my parents. I do. I do. But they would have, my mom would have driven us fucking crazy. She would have just shown up randomly at any time of the day and been like, I want the boys. And it would have been nap time. And she would have gone in and woke their asses up.
No.
Yes. Yes. Come on. Let's be real. Let's be real. She doesn't give a shit about any of the things that we try to put in place with these kids. I mean, that's grandma. Like they want to go see grandma because they know grandma will let them do anything. And there's no rules or structures or anything. And like such a pain in the ass coming back from Florida or something like that. Cause now we have to retrain them into their routines. Cause it's all jacked up. Cause grandma's sitting there feeding them candy and all this stuff late at night. And but
the phones. You guys do with the like tablets and phones, and does Calvin ever ask for like phone or anything like that?
Not really. No. I mean, yeah, he'll like want to grab. Well, what,
he'll
one thing
FaceTime. He loves FaceTiming my parents.
FaceTime, FaceTime at night, but
one thing he's really odd or like weird about is if I pick up Gina's phone and I'm holding Gina's phone, anytime you're holding something that belongs to somebody else, he gets very upset. Like if Gina's holding my phone, she'll like, no, that's daddy's phone, and vice versa. Like, he's odd about that, right?
Mm-hmm. But I've never really shown him that my phone can play YouTube or that my phone can do anything other than call people and pictures.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's got on TikTok because there's this like speech therapist that will be like, 2-year-olds can do these things. And I'm like, can you do these? And then he'll go through those videos.
Yeah, and like show them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pat and I always agreed, like, no YouTube. Like, don't get me wrong. There's been a couple times like they've watched it and stuff. Or, like, we don't do iPads. Like, we go to dinner. Like, Dalton and I will take the boys to dinner. Like, don't do phones. Like, we don't do iPads. Like, when we were in Florida, you know, like I always told, you know, Kath, I was like, no phones. You know, like, go down there. Like, no phones, no phones. Like, 10 minutes later, like, she gives them a phone. And I'm like, I just don't want my kids phone kids. I don't want to be social media kids, mm-hmm. iPad kids. Like, we are those parents that come to a restaurant without an iPad. So prepared to see a shit show because I'm like, I want them to learn to be present, to be around, you know, like, and, you know, Pat and I always had, he's a big, you know, he loves his phone. That's good. Pat's always on his phone. And like, so him and I'm always yelling at him, like, put it away. But like, I was always so adamant and we both are, I mean, in regards to the kids, like no iPads unless we're traveling. And that's an exception at the airport. That was an extreme. Like, I was like, take whatever you want at that point. That was a long day. But you know, no, and I feel like, I genuinely do feel like that has plays a huge mark on like on their behavior, you know, behavioral issues when it comes to iPads and phones and screen time. And even like the Switch, I only give them a Switch maybe 30-40 minutes a day, like throughout the day they can play, but and then we'll go 2-3 days without playing it at all, and they'll ask for it, don't get me wrong, but I'm like it's all right, you know. There's days with like when we're watching TV, or they'll come home from school and we won't have the TV on the entire night, they'll just be playing in the room. I'm like I want you to go outside, go play in your room. Like, I'm just not a techie mom at all. Like, I just kills me when you go to restaurants and kids are just like, you know, on their somebody's phone,
right,
or iPads,
not paying any attention.
But I get it. It's easy. Yeah, like, I get it.
Right. We've talked about that with our kids are older. We don't want that either. I said the only time I feel like we could maybe if it was like after they finished dinner, if we wanted to just sit around and talk, maybe. But
every once in a while, I think it's a great tool. Yeah. It's a great tool. Like, you know, the boys, we downloaded this thing on my computer. At home, it's called like Adapted Mind or something, and it's like, and Ollie really enjoys it more than Connor, but it's like his level, like of math, reading skills,
those kinds of
like
things
like that. I'm all for it. Like, to use technology for tools.
I mean, I feel like that's what they're doing in school anyway.
But to like sit on like TikTok or YouTube all day mindlessly, I can't get behind that. You know, and again, no shade to any parent who does it, just not for me or our kids, or we just try so hard not to.
YouTube is just such a, I feel like it can get out of hand. Danger. Yeah, I feel like it can get out of hand so quick. No,
but there's so many good things too.
Of course, yeah. Like, I mean,
Calvin
honestly,
wouldn't be as smart as he is, honestly,
without
I don't
Miss
think.
Rachel. Mm-hmm. I know Miss Rachel was. We were
our girl.
Yeah, our
we
girl.
Were the Blippi.
Yeah, oh, Blippi,
we love Blippi now.
Blippi, yeah. Calvin loves Blippi. It's like We have Theo watching Miss Rachel because, you know, Calvin's kind of grown out of Miss Rachel at this point, but he loves Blippi. And so Cal, if he comes in the room and I've got Miss Rachel on for Theo, he immediately like takes it from him and turns the TV off. That's his new thing. Mm-hmm. He likes to do. If you're watching something or you have something on the TV, he'll come in and take the remote and just turn it off. Like, dude, like, why? You know, like,
what about Bluey? Do your boys like Bluey?
No, and no, I want him tried to get into it so bad.
I fucking love Bluey.
That's great.
Everybody like says Bluey that, but he won't watch it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will.
As he gets older.
I know. Yeah, I keep trying. Yeah. He knows the characters. I'm like, how do you know them if you're not going to watch it?
Yeah.
But I want to try. But he doesn't really watch a lot of TV. It's just like the first 5 minutes of anything.
Right.
But like when we were making our playroom, Zach was like, oh, let's put a TV in there. I was like, no, I want this to be strictly absolutely play. Yeah. If he wants to watch TV, he can be in the other room.
Yeah. Glad we did that. Because I didn't think about that. But
now he gravitates to play in the living room because Theo's in there.
Right.
And you guys are there, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we kind of bounce around. Sometimes he wants to be in the playroom with him. Sometimes he's, you know, we're out with Theo sitting on the couches or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't sit there and watch.
No, but and that's the other
he'll
thing.
He'll get into it for a few minutes, and then
whatever we watch, it's like we have to start everything from the beginning.
Absolutely.
We have
at 0000. Otherwise, it's nope, it's not the beginning.
Not the beginning.
It's not the beginning.
We rarely see something all the way through.
Yeah. Like, there's so many movies that we've started, and I'm like, man, I just want to know how this movie ends. You know? You know, like, I still want to watch, what is it, Boss Baby. I want to know how it ends. Yeah. We've only seen, like, the first 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, this one's kind of good. Alec Baldwin. And
catches your attention. Oh, these movies are getting better and better. These, like, kids movies. Like, the adults can really enjoy
it. I'll be honest. The Disney originals that they create now, the zombies movies.
Yeah,
those zombies movies were pretty good, and they got really good music. I'm sitting there jamming out my car to the zombie soundtrack.
Zed, one more time, I'm gonna blow my brains out.
There's some good ones. Yeah, that one's catchy, very catchy.
Now, if it's The Greatest Showman, I'm all for that. Yeah. The boys love that movie. Yeah. The soundtrack's obviously
incredible,
just incredible. But I don't know if I can get behind. Like, the boys are always like, Mom, Dalton, can we watch zombie movie? I'm like, no, I can't. Let's pick something different. Like, I can't, because I hear in the background all the time this Disney zombie movie, and it's just like, oh god, I just want to blow your brains out.
But it's got like really a really good theme behind it, where you've got zombies and werewolves and aliens and all that are coming together,
trying to coexist
together and accepting other people and things like that. And then you got the music that goes to it, and it is I like it. I think it's good music.
Yeah. It is. It's your, not when your kid listens to it
all the time,
every day. True. But then again, like, you know, there's songs that I like as an adult. It's like, you know, when I'm in the gym, like, it'll replay. Yeah. So I can't harp on them too much. But.
Yeah, we've got a rule with Calvin. We can only listen to the same song 3 times in a row.
We try that.
Yeah.
That's what we do in the car because, like,
he'll just want to hear the same thing over and over. And it's funny because we've got certain songs.
What
does
he like?
Loves Taylor Swift.
He's a 100% Swiftie.
Oh, yeah. That's all her.
I guess it was last year because I was sick of watching Thomas the Train all the time. I was like, it was right when the Taylor Swift documentary of the Eras Tour came out. I was like, let's just watch it because I know it's theatrical. Put it on, glued.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Glued. Awesome. And now he's just.
What's his favorite?
Cruel Summer is his favorite song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
That's a good one.
Or White Horse. I mean, he probably has about 30 songs that he knows by like the minute it starts.
Yeah, within the first 15 seconds of the song, he'll tell you what the name
kids
of the song
are so
is.
Smart. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then there's certain songs he likes in my truck, which is like, it's just music that I like, which has just been funny. Like lately, like that Sleeping on the Blacktop song by Coulter Wall, which is like this, like, really, this guy who's got this like really deep, like,
deep, yeah.
He's like, sunshine, like it's like a country song, but it's like, yeah, it's funny. But anyway, he loves Red Hot Chili Peppers. He loves, like, I mean, all sorts of
things. And if we're in the car together, he'll say, "Whose phone is playing?" And I'll be like, "Mine." And he'll say, "Okay, then I want." And he'll name Taylor Swift.
So we have a playlist,
that we can share through Spotify. Okay.
So like, I'll add songs. Well, it's hard because like they don't know, especially Oliver, Connor. Yes, Connor, like, the way he remembers music and lyrics is insane. Like, really? He'll hear a song from 3 months ago. Like, oh, that's that one song. Like, and he'll know he'll know the lyrics by heart, like, immediately. But, like, you know, they'll be with Pat, and Pat will either introduce him to a new song or whatever, and then they'll come to, you know, Mom's, and like, Mom, can we play that one song? It goes like, da-da-da, whatever. And like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So they'll get frustrated and mad, and they'll have to call Pat. So then we're like, you know what? Let's make a family playlist. And we share the Spotify account. Yep. And so, like, he'll put the song on and it'll be on there and I can see it and I'll have to guess. But, like, yesterday we were in the car and we were playing music without words. you know, it was just the, like the melody and the music. And it was just like very like serene and peaceful for me. And then like, they'll just hear like the first 15 seconds of the melody, no words. And they'll know, they knew what the song was. It's like Shawn Mendes or whatever, like anything from like country to pop to a Disney or Greatest Showman was on there too. And they knew like instantly. It's so crazy. But yeah.
They're smart, man.
I think Calvin's like that too. Like I think he picks up those lyrics and knows.
Yeah.
I think he'll have some music. Sense in him.
Yeah, like he'll definitely like, I mean, he can sing parts of songs. He'll remember parts of songs for sure.
He says something I'd always wanted to get, I do want to get them into is something, like I want them to be very well-rounded. I mean, like I just played sports.
Same.
Like that was it.
I did nothing.
I want them to, you know, get into gymnastics, get into music, get into arts, get into sports, like be well-rounded, cooking, all the things. Like, that was, I don't know. I just wish that was something that I did more of that I would like to do with them. And so,
I was way more artsy as a child. Like I was never good at sports until like high school. And that's when I lost a bunch of weight and got into football and wrestling. But I played guitar. I was in a couple bands. I was really into like artwork and drawing, skateboarding. Yeah, yeah. I was always into like that kind of like artsy type stuff.
Yeah. But
then as I got older, I got into more sports and fitness stuff, but that's something I would definitely love for the boys to get into. I could totally see, I mean, Calvin loves to like, I mean, he loves playing with the Play-Doh and he likes to draw and stuff. So maybe that could be something he gets into, like painting and art, you know, whatever they want to do. I want to be behind it.
Yeah.
That's
how we want to support our kids. Yeah. Like 100%. I never like Connor's more way sporty and I never want Ollie, you know, Ollie likes it, but he's not as interested in sports as Connor is, and I never want him to feel like he has to like kind of follow his brother's footsteps, you know. It's like that's like the hardest thing, you know, being like, you know, kind of like,
you know,
second best
out.
You know, it's hard, right? It's hard as a child to like, oh, my brother's so good at sports, like why am I not good? It's like I want him to find like what he loves, what he's good at. And I'm like, mom, dad, Dalton, like we'll support you 100%, like whatever it is that you want to do, like we're here for you, you know. So I just never want him to feel like he's not good enough.
Right. And everybody always asks me, like, oh, how excited are you to get the boys in baseball? I'm like, they want to play baseball. I don't give a shit. If they want to play baseball, they'll play baseball.
Yeah.
If not, I'm not. Whatever they want to do.
Being ballerina for all I care.
Right.
Go for it, man.
Hell yeah.
That's what we said, except we don't want to sit through things like that.
Oh, those dance competitions.
The dance competition, the gymnastics competitions, like all those.
I don't want a day long.
Oh, God.
Well, and
we haven't even.
I'm wanting them to wrestle. It's the same thing. So
I know. I know.
Yeah.
Like a one and done sports game, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe a tournament. But
I don't know how these parents do, like games every weekend, all weekend. Like, when do you have a lot? You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
they don't.
I mean, Pat's family, like, they were always, you know, it was like every weekend, every night. It was either practice or
they waited
until
we could drive, and then that's when their life started.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Until at least somebody could drive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we look at, you know, your cousin and her kids and all their sports. Mm-hmm. It's like all three of their kids play million sports, and it just seems like they're always
on the go.
They're always on the go. They're always at, you know, going from one game to another to, you know, all right, mom's going with Jackson to here and dad's going with Hadley to here, whatever it is. And you know, it's just, it seems, I mean, it's kind of looking into our future there, and I'm like, oh man.
That's how it was with me. I mean, even through high school playing two sports, I always had something. Field hockey and soccer.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was always, you know, it was like in high school, soccer season was in the fall, but that was field hockey select season, and then vice versa the other time. So I feel like I was always, even as a child, I just, every night, I feel like we had something.
Yeah, that's how I was. I mean, I was playing sometimes two or three different hockey teams, and then in middle school through the start of high school, I had football in there, and then baseball was year-round. I mean, it was always go, 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 go. And, yeah, I mean, my parents were so all right, you're 15, you're getting your permit right now. And then you are going to drive as much as you possibly can with us. And then as soon as you're 16, they were more excited when I turned 16. They're like, all right, you ready to go to the DMV, get this thing passed? Like, you ready? I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. And got passed. And they're like, fuck yeah. See ya.
Freedom.
Yeah, freedom.
But no, I will say, from growing up around the sports and seeing like the parents party at games and trips and things like that, plus coaching now and seeing the interactions, plus, you know, friends that have kids that play hockey and other sports, like these parents can get pretty crazy. Like they'll just go and barbecue and hang out in the parking lot and drink before the game or sneak in alcohol during games. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is, this is wild. I mean, I know, I remember in like the hotel trips. I mean,
right.
Like hearing stories now, like, parents just getting so drunk and passing out in the lobby and things like this. Like, I'm like, help. Yeah. This is what we have. This is what we have to look forward to.
That's all you enjoy.
Yeah. Good times.
Oh God, making new friends. Like parents, there's a lot of pressure on parents to, you know, like do all these things for the kids all the time. Like on top of the house, on top of your job, like your life, like your kids have to constantly be involved in things. There's so much pressure to just do all the time.
Well, that's the thing they talk about in the book too. Is like take time for yourself.
Yeah, I have a hard time doing that.
Well, and I also think. Yeah, I do. But I also think, like, society now, we always feel like we have to be doing something that the kids never have time to just be bored.
Oh, my God. I love when my kids are bored.
Right.
I'm like, great. I love that for you.
Mm-hmm. It's so figure great. It out yourself rather than me having to entertain you all the time. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I'm not your entertainment. I'm like, if you're bored, go find something to do. Like, figure it out. I don't care. Mm-hmm. He's like, Mom, I'm bored. I'm like, I'll give you, great. Like, you want to do some laundry? I'll do the laundry. I got plenty for you to do.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm fine. No,
I'm not playing with
I'm not bored. Yeah, I could care less if they're bored. I'm like, it's okay. The one other thing I noticed that I loved, that I want to mention, is like disappointment. Like, allow your child to feel disappointed. I am all for that. Agreed. Like, it's okay to be disappointed. Life is not fair. Life is not easy. Like, it's, you're going to, and that's the thing. All of this correlates to like being an adult. Like, how many adults do you know that genuinely do not have any emotional regulation, that go from 0 to 60 and got, like, I mean, like, yeah. like that, you know? It's like, I strive so hard, like, for our kids to not, to just learn to kind of emotionally regulate themselves and to feel feelings, like, to feel disappointment, to, it's okay to feel, like, yeah, we all want our kids to be happy, ultimately, absolutely, but I also want them to feel disappointment.
But how are they going to, exactly, how are they going to know what happy is if they've never been disappointed or upset or,
yeah.
You know? And to name it for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, to help them through that. And I love, like, telling Oliver, like, I know you're so, and it's so goofy because, like, when I read this book, I hear her voice, you know, because I've been following her for so long. So, like, as I'm reading, I can hear her voice in my head. And, like, she always says, like, I know you wish you want this, or, you know, I know you're disappointed. And I've been doing that with the kids for God knows how long. And it's like, I understand that you're disappointed. Like, I feel that with you. I'm going to sit here and feel it with you for as long as you need. And, like, I tell the kids, like, it's okay to be upset, you know, like, just like she says, like, and it really does resonate with them. And, like, sharing your experiences with the kids, like, gosh, like, I remember the one time, like, you know, I did this and, like, it didn't work out and I was so upset, and they're like, oh, like, I'm not alone in this, yeah, you know?
You felt this before, too.
Like, you felt it. So it just feels so good to, like, connect with them on that level. Like, I'm not alone in this. Like, Mom's got it. Dad's got it. You know, like, we've been here. So, like, to share those emotions and, like, especially disappointment, boredom, whatever it is, you know, whatever the feeling is, like, sit in it. Like, sit in that feeling.
Well, I also think the boys are going to be lucky, too. I mean, at once they're old enough and can understand it, you talking to them about everything that you went through to get here and all the stuff that your family went through and all those emotions and all those things. To allow them to have a better understanding, one, of where you're from, where their heritage is from, but two, also to understand that, you know, those are big feelings. That's who Mom is. That's where Mom came from. That's why Mom is the way she is, you know? So I'm excited for them to get to that point where they're old enough to understand that.
Yeah, it is cool. We all have such a different dynamic, you know, like Dalton was, you know, raised by his grandmother, she's an angel on earth. You know, she's an amazing woman. You know, Patrick has his mom and dad, you know, and like the dynamic from which his mom and dad came from and like the life they lived and how they got to where they got to. And then like my parents, you know, being immigrants. So it's like we all three of us have such different, yep. you know,
yeah.
such different ways of life. Like we all grew up so differently. So to be able to like share that with the kids, like, you know, we were just, Dalton and I went on our walk this morning for 75 hard and we're having that conversation with the boy or with each other about the boys, you know, just. You know, right now they're mama's boys through and through. I mean, I'm sure your kids are as well. And so, but as they get older, they're going to be leaning more into Pat and to, you know, into Dalton and, you know, like, you know, just man things and guy things, you know? And so like, there's so much that Pat can teach them and Dalton can teach them. So like to have all three of us there, like in their corner is cool. So.
Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing you were saying, but just reminded me of one of the concepts from the book is the two things are true.
Yes, you know, I believe, like, so this morning. Yeah,
it's like
two things can be true.
Yeah, two things can be true at the same time. Yes, you know, yes, we can't have dessert and that's okay. You know, that you're upset about it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I think that's something I've thought about a lot with Calvin recently is like, okay, yeah, you can, you know, you might be upset that mommy's upstairs, you know, it didn't bring you, you know, because like Gina can't even go shower by herself without him wanting to come. And
anywhere.
Yep. No. Nope. Like, if
go to the bathroom, leave the door open.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's God. Always cracked open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, if it's not the kids, the dogs, I swear.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but yeah, it's just, that's one concept I've definitely thought about a lot, that two things can be true at the same time.
I love
time.
That. Yeah. I love that.
Like, and with like motherhood or parenthood in general, like two things can be true. Parenthood could be the best thing ever, but like also it can hardest. Also be like this kid thing. Is driving me crazy yes, right now, and that's okay.
Yeah,
right.
I love that two things can go mm-hmm. coexist. Like it's just a principle
that
you, struggling.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just a principle that you can apply to literally everything
and
in life.
Everything in life. Yeah. Yeah,
like I think they talk about a boss and getting a raise.
Yep, I was just thinking about that.
Things
yeah.
like that, I think, is what the example they use. Like, hey, it's not just parenting. It's yeah. hey, you know what? Your boss doesn't give you a raise and doesn't explain it. It's okay for you to be mad, but still want to work for that company, like things like that. But,
yeah, it was like essentially like he was saying, like, you know, I understand, like, you know, you're pissed off you didn't get your raise. And then it's like, you know, your boss can handle it one of two ways. You can either say, hey, listen, like, you know, I'm really sorry. I know you were hoping for that. You know, again, it was like empathetic understanding and then like, you know, kind of reflection. It's like, I understand that you didn't get this raise and I know you're really looking forward to it. It was like, I feel like the way that I talk to my children, I can literally talk to adults the same way right. and get just as good of a response and like a connection to that person and know, hey, listen, like I tried, like I understand you're upset, whatever it is. Like, it's just, this book is so much more than just
parenting.
No. Oh my gosh. It's just, it's such a good book. And it kind of, I get annoyed because people are like, oh, gentle parenting is such crap. You know, like you got to learn, keep your kids in line and whatever, you know, it's like people have their ways of parenting, but it's like, I don't see it as gentle parenting. I just see it as like connecting and like understanding. And again, two things can be true at the same time. Like you can be pissed off, you can be upset, but hey, we're not going to do this. It's boundaries. If you don't set boundaries with your kids, they're going to, it's obvious it's going to derail any kind of progress, but it's all about the way that you communicate and handle situations that your kid at some point. And no, it's, and what I love is she said, like, none of this is immediate. This is all long-term, you know, it's like, this is not an immediate fix. And no, it might not fix it right away. They might understand, but it's like, if you just keep repeating at some point, like, you know, like things will click.
Late.
It's never too late.
Yeah, it's never too late.
For some adults it is, but some adults it is.
You know one.
But like, you know, it's like, it's never too late to, you know, kind of, right. I guess, try, right. you know, so.
You talk about gentle parenting reminded me. There's this TV show, and I want to rewatch it with you. I want to do that soon. It's called The Parent Test. Have you heard the show?
No.
It's on, I think it was ABC, maybe. But it's a show, and they have all these different parents that do all these different parenting styles. And then they put them through, like, tests. So, like, I don't remember what the tests were, but I know one of them was, like, jumping off of a high dive, and the kids didn't want to do it. And it was, like, all their parenting types kind of, like, coaching their kids through it to see which parenting types the best. Mm-hmm. But it was just really interesting seeing like all the different ways you can do things, and I want to do that again now that
yeah, because we watched it like right when Calvin uh-huh. was born, so like at that time, you know, still infant, so we haven't really kind of experienced him telling us no and like, you know, having the kind of personality that he
has. The nose, you know? Yeah.
I
love that.
Well, no, and then there was one test on it where they let the kids pretend that they were the parents mm-hmm. and seeing the kids act like those parents and like the authoritative Ooh. And like talking back to them was really interesting to see. And I mean, ultimately the show came down to every parenting type is good in some sense. Like, you know,
it's all got a time and a
place. Yeah. Right. But it's just interesting to kind of see,
you know, I think that's kind of what I am, because I didn't watch every episode with you, but it just seemed like, you know, I don't think there's one style that is the style. Like, I think it's kind of like a combination.
Like
of
a
everything.
Mix. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's.
Well, and you're not going to be the same for both your kids, right. all your kids either.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody's, every kid, you know, which I'm really excited to, you know, kind of see, you know, when Theo's personality kind of starts to develop, I'm like really curious to see
how different.
How he's
gonna,
is he going to be yeah. just like Calvin, or is he going to be like a more sweet, gentle, mm-hmm. like calm kid? I don't know. Is Calvin's a. The real boy's boy.
Yeah.
No, there's no.
He's a mama's boy, but he's a boy's boy.
Yeah. Wow. That's yeah. awesome.
Fun.
That's yeah. really cool. Growing up is the whole repairing your relationship. It was like my mom and dad, it was like, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, kind of thing. And don't get me wrong, my parents are amazing. They raised me the best they could with what they had, right? You know, they went through their own trial and tribulations and stuff. And, but it's like the repair aspect of a relationship. Like if I lose my shit, which again, we do, I yell, And then like immediately, like, I feel bad. So like, I'll calm down. I'll go back to the boys and I'll say, hey, listen, you know, mommy yelled and I shouldn't have, and I'm really sorry. You don't deserve it. You're a good kid. You're an amazing kid. And mommy's going to do better about, you know, controlling her anger and, you know, all these things. And they always feel like it's okay. And, you know, there have been so many times where like Oliver will lose his shit or Connor will lose his shit. And then he'll come back like later all on his own. And he'll just be like, mom, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm really sorry I yelled, without me ever having to ask him. He'll just do it on his own. And again, it's like, so it's not these immediate things that, you know, that happen, but it's like over time, it's like you have to be there calm, or, you know, you have to essentially replicate the behavior that you want, you know? So it's like, it's okay that we lose our shit. Like, that's, nobody's perfect. I am not a perfect mom. That's not a perfect dad. Like, we all lose our shit. And if you say you're perfect, you're a lying sack of shit, yeah. You know, no, you're sure. Not. You know, I hate to say that, you know, I yell at my kids. I have, and I do, but like, it's not so much the, for me, like, my yelling, it's how I repair it afterwards. You know, it's like, I have no problem as a parent, you know, unlike my mom and dad, like, I have no problem being like, I fucked up. I'm really sorry. You don't deserve that. You're an amazing child. And then we just move on, you know, and it's like, I will do better.
Yeah. I did that this past weekend. We're in the gym at the apartment and sitting there working out. They started wrestling. Things got a little violent too quickly. And,
shocking.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, and Connor basically had Oliver in a headlock and then did a spin and threw him to the ground.
Oh god.
And Oliver almost nearly missed a thing that holds the weights. Oh. The weight plates.
Oh god.
And I was like, oh shit. So I went and I grabbed Connor because he was like getting ready to jump on him. And so I grabbed him.
Your immediate reaction was like fear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Grabbed him and pulled him back. And I had him by the back of the shirt. Connor also has really long hair. So. And I pulled some of his hair and he lost his shit. And I felt like he immediately started crying. And I was like, Connor, no, we can't. Not in here. Playtime. Like, and I wasn't yelling at him. I wasn't. But like. He was so frightened because I grabbed him by the shirt and had his hair, that even though I was talking to him in a calm way, like, hey man, we don't do this, like, not here, there's a time and place, we can't throw your brother around these things, he had like this look on his eyes, and as soon as I let go, he lost it. And he went running out, went back to the apartment, and then Oliver, They're so close. He got up and he's like, Connor, it's okay.
He's
it's okay.
Protective. They are so oh, yeah. protective oh, of so, each other. So. Oh,
Connor, come back. It's okay. And then Oliver comes running back. He goes, Dad,
don't you
that was
that.
Mean. Why did you do that to him? And I'm like, what? But he goes, you pulled Connor's hair. And then it clicked. Oh. And I was like, oh shit. So stopped the workout, went back to the house. Connor's like, I'm mad at you and I don't love you anymore.
Oh, you guys started hearing that. I don't love you. Have you heard that? Yeah. No, I don't love you. Yeah.
Well,
that's always
good. I don't like you, Daddy. What's he been like, saying lately? Yeah.
He's not my father.
Yeah, that, yeah.
You are not my dad anymore. And I'm like, who is? And he'll be like, Cooper, which is our dog. Yeah. I'm like, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So, I pulled him aside and sat him down in the room and was like, got down on his level and apologized to him and said, buddy, I wasn't trying to pull your hair. I was just trying, like, you were getting ready to go after Oliver and I wanted to stop you. So, like, I just grabbed as quick as I could and that's what I got. And I'm sorry. That was my fault. And had to apologize with him. And he's like, okay, I kind of love you now. I was like,
they love saying that.
I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll take I kind of love you over not loving me. But he's like, I understand why you're upset and hurt. And I didn't mean to scare you and just kind of moved on from that and just let it go. And then I was like, all right, mom's getting ready to come pick you up. We got to go get to mom soon. We got to take a bath. And so go and take a bath. And then after the bath, he gave me a hug and was like, Dad, I love you and all that stuff. Like, so it's just how you gotta, like, yeah, fucked up and reacted.
But it was a safety thing too.
Right,
it was just out of fear.
But,
he reacted
right,
out of fear 100%.
But he didn't see it that way. No. He just saw it as
Dad's mad at me.
Yeah, Dad, exactly. And I'm like, buddy, I wasn't mad at you. I wasn't, mm-hmm. I was like, if you remember, I wasn't even yelling at you. I was having a conversation, but I'm sorry that, like, I didn't realize, like, in that moment, the strength or how hard I was pulling on that shirt to hold you back. And
he was wrestling, so he was already heightened
exactly,
to begin with.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So Yeah, no, that was, I felt terrible. Absolutely awful. And that, but kind of, like I said, I'll, like they, Connor and Oliver are like this. I mean, they love each other.
Oh my gosh. They protect each other so much. Like, yeah, they get me mad at each other. Like Connor, you're the worst, or Connor, I hate you. And if I, God forbid, like somebody yells at them, or like if somebody takes their toy, or somebody, other kid, like does something to them, my God, he is up in his face. Like, that's my brother. Don't you touch him.
Well, I've started flipping the script. When I hear them start yelling at each other like that, then I'll get on. I'm like, yeah, that's right. And then they'll be like, hey, don't talk. No, yeah. No, don't talk to him like that. I'm talking to him like that. Like,
they're so switch it up.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think tone is such a huge part of parenting. Like yesterday, Patrick dropped the boys off, and I guess they were a little,
they were wild.
They were on one yesterday with him, and he dropped him off at the back door, and like, Mom, I want to go outside. And I forget what else he said. He was like, I want to go outside. And he's like, no, he's like, it's cold. And he said some other kind of remark, you know, and I said, who are you talking to? And he's like, ooh. And I was like, okay. I said, who am I? And he's like, Mom. And I said, okay. I said, how do we talk to Mom? He's like, politely. I said, okay. I was like, so what is it that, he's like, well, I want to go outside. And I said, okay. I said, that's fine. I said, you need a jacket, you need a sweater, you need a hat. And he's like, okay. And I swear, like, everything is just about to nail it. And I understand, like, so many times it's hard to just, like, calm down and, like, to, like you said, like, being proactive as opposed to reactive. Like, being reactive is so much easier. It's so much easier to yell and scream and, like, you know, like, just be on your kids. But it's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't do shit. Like, all they do is just become compliant and just do whatever you want them to do. Like, they're cut out of fear, right? Like, that is, to me, like, I was a very compliant child out of fear. I was very compliant. And, like, I'm like, I don't want my kids to be compliant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want them to do it because it's the right thing to do, or it's the appropriate thing to do, not because, like, they
are scared.
Yeah, they're scared, or because, like, that's what Mom wants. You know, Mom wants. It's like, I want you to know that is the right thing to do, or whatever. You
that
know?
Intrinsic.
Yeah. So, like, tonality is everything. And I know it's hard. Pat knows I'm not perfect. He's heard me yell a million times, but, like, tonality is huge with kids. Like, when I need them to do something, like, at nighttime, like, you know, I'll tuck him into bed and we do like rubs, pats, and scratches or whatever. Like, we have like our little bedtime routine.
We do too.
Yeah.
Ours is ridiculous.
Yeah. Ours is ridiculous. Absolutely. Yeah. They'll say goodnight five times and then, you know, they get in bed. And sometimes we do like face painting, like where I like draw animal shapes on their
love
face.
That.
And it kind of like calms them down a little bit. Like it just like kind of soothing. And so like I'll draw like a tiger and they have to guess it, you know. And so we'll do that like a minute of rubs, pats, scratches, and we'll have like conversations.
Okay, so that's
and talks
what Oliver's
and stuff.
Asking for.
Face painting, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you so think you legit. Have to
yeah,
like, we'll lay in bed.
Like no, he's
and
like
I'll
he's
just
like
take
dad,
my
just,
finger
he's,
gently.
He's just like dad, draw my face. And I'm like, What?
I don't know what made me do that one night. And they just love it. It's so soothing. Like, you know, it just calms them down the other night, or we'll read books or whatever. But like our bedtime routine is like our night to have like conversation and we'll talk to each other. I don't know where I was going with that. About tonality. I don't even know, but anyways, bedtime routines, those are fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, and one thing from the book that I've taken and I've seen you do a lot, and that's something I'm trying to do more of, is like, you know, validating his feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, I know you're feeling this way, and it's okay to feel upset because, you know, you can't have your third Z bar today. you know, like, but like that's just one thing that I've noticed you do a lot that I'm like trying to work on for sure and being more aware of it, like validating the kids' feelings.
And that's what that was the first thing I started implementing from this, was saying that. And ever since I started doing that, it's if that's the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, I can see that you're angry and I understand why you're angry, it's changed the way that I approach all the conversations that I have with them from there on. It keeps me from yelling. It keeps me from getting upset or, you know, heightened response. But ever since I started doing that, like, okay, Oliver, you're upset. What are you up? You know,
I do that. I know you wish you could. Like she says, like, you know, I'll follow her on Instagram. She's like, I wish you could have, or you know, you wish you could have this, whatever. Yeah. You know,
wish you like, could have that toy. Or
yeah, yeah. Like you wish you could. Like it's emphasizing, but it's not just like it's not just saying it. It's really. It, you know, yeah. It's not just, yeah, I get it. You're upset. Like, I get it. You know, but imagine like if you were like having an argument with your spouse, you know, and your spouse is trying to express like emotion to you. And she used so much of like a, you know, adult relationship examples in here, you know, like you come home from work and you've had a long day at work, you're stressed out, you're pissed off. And you know, now you got to make dinner, now you got to do this. And, you know, your husband comes in or your wife or whatever, your partner comes in and asks you a question, you just kind of snap at them. And so instead of snapping back, you're like, whoa, like she's kind of going through some stuff. Like this isn't really her, you know, it's again, like step back and just instead of just saying like, you know, saying like, oh my God, like what's your problem? Like what's wrong with you? You know, which we're all guilty of. We've all done it. But instead of just reacting in that way, like, hey, like something's really going on, you know? So really just to be empathetic and to actually like acknowledge those feelings or that problem instead of just saying, yeah, like I get it. You know, it's like just taking that time, like slow down. Just, I mean, as far as when they're, I don't know how they are dads, but when they're with mom, like it really, really made a huge difference. So, yeah.
I mean, it's, I mean, it's close quarters, so it escalates quickly in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you know, they'll be, you know, one will be in my room watching TV. The other one will be on the couch and then they'll go flip flop and one will come to the couch and the other one will go to the room and then they'll wind up in the room. And when they're in the room together, there's gonna be fighting. And that's just normally how that happens. And that's how I get noise complaints. And like, that's the, I'm just like, I'm like, boys, stay on the bed. You can wrestle and fight on the bed all you want, but please do not jump on the floor. Because it sounds like you're going to put a hole through the floor when you do this, especially Oliver. He's just,
oh, he's got flip-flops.
He sounds like
man.
A herd of elephants walking through anywhere. He's so heavy footed. Connor, you don't ever hear him. But yeah, I mean, it was just like that was one of those things where I'm like, fuck, I get a little agitated when sure. I start hearing loud noises because I know that the people below me are going to go, fucking report me to things. And I'm just like,
again, it's like that goes back to that thing. It's right. Like you're annoyed. You're it's, right. It's judging. It's you being judged by other people. It's not so much them. Like they're kids.
Right.
Like, you
know, well, that's,
like they don't know how to play quietly.
Right.
You know, I mean, they do, but you know what I mean?
Right. But they don't realize that what that sounds yeah, like below yeah. them. Right. They're well, just thinking yeah. they're having fun.
And that's the thing. It was like before reading this, I would get really upset with them about it and yell at them. Now I'm just like, boys, we'll sit them down. I'll go in. I'm like, hey, come here. Sit on the bed. Let's talk about this for a second. Talked about this before. I told you that we got to be quiet because if we're not, they're gonna kick us out. Like we're not gonna have a place to stay anymore. They won't let us live here.
We'll be on the streets.
Yeah, we're gonna be on the streets. I was like, now how does that? What does that sound like? Does that sound like fun? And they're like, no. It's like, all right. So if you're gonna wrestle, it's fine. Stay on the bed, or better yet, go in your room and wrestle because there's no one under you there. So go and wrestle in your room. I'm like, oh, okay. So they go and do that. But before I would lose my shit. I'm like, boys, what are you doing? That didn't help either because I just did it.
Of course.
Yeah, one thing I do, and I think she talks about in this book too, is I have to take Calvin out of situations so 100%. Often.
Yep.
And when I go in the other room and we just cuddle on the couch yep. and like he gets so dysregulated.
Mm. Yeah.
And that I feel like that's helped so yeah. much in situations.
Or, I've been doing that with Ollie because Ollie's that.
Ollie's very, yeah, he's going through like this like anger kind of thing. Last night we were playing pool downstairs and not with the pool sticks, like the heels, but just they were like rolling the balls, you know, yeah. And Connor, you know, being the competitive one, he'd like get one. He's like, yeah, I'm the best. He's like, yeah. And Ollie would be like, I suck. And then he'd get like angry and he's like starts to stomp. I'm like, Ollie. And I just like put my hand on his heart and he's like, oh, you know, he like does this like deep like exhale, you know, and it's just, I don't know. He's just like a little gremlin, man. I'm he's like this angry little gremlin, but he's just I don't know what, but like, there was something I heard. It was like for kids, and I might say this wrong. So if you've ever heard of this, like questions are they're kryptonite and something like statements. Like I'll go in their room and I'll like instead of asking them, like I'll just like make a statement. What is it? Is it the other way around? Have you heard this? It's like this. He's like I don't know what he's like a parenting coach or something like that. But he says statements are their fuel and questions are their kryptonite or something, or maybe it's the opposite. Statements are their fuel and questions are their kryptonite. Like, why are we still talking? You know what I'm saying? Like instead right. of like, stop talking, like, you know, like, or stop sure. yelling. Like you go and be like, why are we still yelling? You know? So it's like when you ask them a question, instead of a statement, like instead of, you know, and especially at this age, you know, they're just wild. They're boys. Like I love that they're boys. They're just wild little boys. Their testosterone's constantly just pumping through their body all the time. Like they're like slamming each other on the couch and like jumping from one to another, you know? And so this is what I forgot earlier. And I was telling the story about bedtime routine. I'll be, you know, I'll tuck them in. I'm like, hey, I'll be right back, you know? And like, I'll hear them like still giggling and laughing, you know, and they sleep in the bunk beds. And so I'll come in and I'm like, hey, so why are we still talking? And they'll just like, shut up. and they'll just stop. And so it's, I think that's, that is the right saying though. It's questions are their kryptonite and statements are their fuel. Gotcha. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
That's cool. Let's start asking them more questions.
Yeah. The questions always trip them up. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, I got to answer this now.
We have too many questions in our house.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions. Everything's why,
from Calvin.
Why.
Oh, my God. Everything's why. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Hey, Calvin, we can't have another Z bar.
Why?
Why? You've already had three.
Do you guys do like options with him? Do you find that's easier? Mm-hmm. Like you can have this or this.
But then he uses it. He'll go, let's go in the kitchen and look at my options.
Oh, no.
I love that. No, I took him to a basketball game. When was that? Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. And oh my God, the questions about a basketball game. I didn't know I had to explain everything.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, Siri, what is football?
Like, well, he's like, my cousin, my little cousin, they're fifth grade.
Yeah.
And he's like, he got a foul. And he's like, he fell? Like, no, we got a foul. What's a foul? Well, he hit somebody,
why?
Is what I said.
Why?
Well, why? Why did he hit him? Well, he accidentally did. Well, who did he hit? Well, that guy. What guy? That one right there in the blue shoes. The light blue shoes or the dark blue shoes? I don't know. I just made it up.
Yeah.
But everything's a question.
Everything's a question. And then, like,
does he do the questions at bedtime too? Like, why is the sky blue?
My favorite. Yeah,
ladybugs.
The
have
one
spots.
Day he called me upstairs because he delays bedtime, and then he calls me up, and he, I walk up there and he goes, "Mommy, you know where Nashville is?"
Oh no! Yeah, we've definitely. Yeah.
Well, and that's because that's where Taylor Swift moved to, and that's why he knew that. But
his
I was like,
Taylor Swift book.
Mm-hmm.
Got a Taylor Swift book.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Or one time I was like, "Mom, is Daisy Duck a girl or a boy?" Why are we talking about this right
she's
now?
I love the nighttime questions, man. Well, you're like, just shut up and go to bed.
Yeah, it's just a delay.
Well, and it's just like, they'll get up and they'll be like, Dad, I got to ask you a question. I'm like, what's up, buddy?
I love you.
I'm like,
I love you.
Yeah.
You're like, and I always tell them, like, I'm like, that's not a question. It's a statement. So then I'll come out like, Mom, I have a statement for you.
I have a statement for you. That's even better.
He's like, I love you.
Calvin says, can I tell you a question?
Oh.
I got to tell you a question.
Oh.
What are we going to do in the morning? Statement. I'm like, I don't care. Just go to bed.
Does he get excited? Do you guys ever tell him like plans in advance?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you wait till like
the
moment?
She does. And well, that was something I think she brought up in the book is like kind of like, I think it was in the book, right? Where that she was talking about, you know, kind of explaining what's going to happen. And
oh,
like to
yeah.
Kind of
like for
anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's one thing I notice you do with Calvin a lot. Like you're always like, what are we going to do tomorrow? Well, first, we're going to wake up, we're going to eat breakfast, and then we're going to go to Mimi's house, and then you're going to take a nap at Mimi's house, but then Mommy's going to come back or whatever it is. And like, you kind of like break down the whole day. And
when I prepare him for things like on the way places, like, okay, when we're going
they
somewhere,
do so
like,
much
what's
better.
The rules?
Oh,
what
so
are we
going
to do?
That way? Like, they know what to expect. They know what's coming. So it's not like in the middle of the play, like, all right, time to go home. Like, you knew, you know, it's like they knew it was time to go. You prep them for that. I love that. That's so true.
Something that, you know, she said is like, you know, children have, there's so many few things that children actually have control over. And, you know, and having them like know what's going to happen in advance is going to like help with that.
Oh, absolutely.
So much. Yeah.
Going to the dentist or going to the doctor's.
They're
going to
open up your mouth and they're going to touch your teeth. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, we haven't done that yet, have we?
No, we need to do
that.
You talked about the whole brain child. Have you started that?
I literally am like on page like 10. That's my new book for.
Because the first thing in that book, they talk about like a car accident and the kids in a car accident.
Yep. Yeah,
and
yeah,
kind of explaining
yeah.
that thing, and they're asking all these questions when
and
really
he's like, don't ignore it.
Yeah, they're
like,
trying to make sense
about it.
Even
yeah.
though it's the same question
it's
over
like,
and over. It's just their way of processing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, let's go get ice cream. And it's like, no, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I think the boy's babysitter, they were in the car together and they got into a car. She had like an epilepsy or a seizure or something in the car. She crashed. And so they took her to the ambulance and or either took her to the hospital or something like that. And so the boy was obviously very traumatized. He was like 2 or 3 years old. He really didn't speak, you know, many words. And he kept saying like, Iwa, like woo woo or something. So Iwa was Sophia. That was his babysitter. And only his mom obviously understood the, you know, I'm sure Calvin has things that you guys only understand versus others. And he said woo woo, you know, and woo woo was like the ambulance, the sirens. And so his mom was like, okay, let's go get ice cream. You know, let's just forget about it. And they're like, no, don't do that. Like their brains need to go through these, like, these traumatic experiences and like to understand like what they're actually feeling. So I'm really excited about this one. So
check that one out next.
Maybe that'll be next. Maybe they'll get on here again.
Yeah. Well, ladies, we really appreciate you guys coming.
Thank you guys.
On.
Yes.
This was a ton of fun. And we should definitely do this again. It was fun to, you know, just hang out with you guys for the last hour. And
yeah, absolutely.
So
should we hit them? Should I hit
with
them?
Okay, hit them with it.
All right.
No.
Is this a tombstone?
No, I can't.
Is this a tombstone question? Yeah. No, I've literally thought about this. I'm like, what the fuck? I wasn't prepared.
Exactly. That's the point.
I knew they were going to ask me, and I still have not prepared myself.
That's the point. Catch you off guard. All right, it's a real answer. All right. Tombstone game. Okay. Gina, here lies Gina. What's it say on your tombstone? Melissa, here lies Melissa. What's it say on your tombstone?
That's morbid and depressing.
Not at all.
I'm going to go with my favorite quote and change it. So wherever she was all there.
Perfect.
Love that.
I really have no idea.
It's your last message to the world.
I don't know. I never really think about myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm always thinking about other people. And
it's basically what's most important to you? What? How do you want people to remember you?
I don't know that I would want to write a tombstone.
Obituary, whatever.
No. Yeah, my obituary. I mean, how long?
Tombstone sounds better than obituary.
Yeah.
I know. Obituary game. Really sad. Yeah, the obituary game. I don't know. Honestly, I don't even know how to answer that. I really
loving
don't.
Mother.
Well, look, I mean, that's the first thing I would think of is to be the best mom ever. But it's I can't say that. I mean, that's my goal to be best mom, but I guess that's up to Connor and Oliver to decide that. Not really for me, but I did my best.
You were good.
Okay. Yeah. What's that, the meme? Do you do? Yeah. What do you do, Tom? I do my best. I do my best.
I did my best.
I did my best. That's my tombstone.
Did you guys ever answer that question?
Yeah. What is your tombstone?
I don't think you guys have ever answered
that. I don't think I've ever heard you guys say what's on your tombstone?
What's on yours?
Now you're on the spot.
Throw it right back.
Oh, look at her.
Oh, shit. Well,
you guys had plenty of episodes.
You guys have had 9,000 episodes to think about this.
We've had quite a few.
Yeah. Loving father, loyal husband or partner and friend, and someone that could be depended upon no matter what.
Ditto.
Yeah. Same.
Hashtag same. Yeah. We'll just put your tombstone actually the point arrow. What he said.
Yeah.
I'm with stupid.
I'm with the big guy.
We'll have a big tomb and a little tomb. That's tough. See,
it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Go ahead. Yeah.
He worked really hard. He was very loyal. He always did his best. And loving a father and husband, I guess, would be something along those lines. I might need to edit that and make
come back
a little bit better.
Yeah, people don't ask us that.
People don't ask us that. I was not prepared.
Way to go, Gina. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, you guys always ask other people.
Right. Uno reverse. Uno. Yeah. Slap that Uno reverse card.
She pulls the card out.
Yeah. That's epic. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the show. If you haven't clicked that subscribe button for us yet, please do that. That would help us out a ton. Hit that like button as well. Comment what you thought below, and we will see you next time.